Welcome to Straight Talk on Health. I'm your host, Dr. Chet Salasco. Straight Talk on Health is a joint production together with WGVU in Grand Rapids, Michigan. I examine the practical application of health information, nutrition, exercise, diet, supplements. I look at the science behind them and let you know whether it's something to consider or not. You can check out other things that I do on my website, drchet.com, and please sign up for my free emails. In late April 2026, the official world's record for the marathon, that's 26.2 miles, was broken by runners in both the male and female marathon. More than that, it was shattered by three male runners and one female runner. Now, the male time was 1 hour 59 minutes 30 seconds, while the female time was 2 hours 15 minutes 41 seconds. In actuality, the world record and 2-hour mark was broken in an unofficial marathon run on a track under ideal conditions by another runner 5 years before that. But running on a track under those conditions, much like breaking the 4-minute mile was, is different than running in a race on a road. While reading about the prep for the race, much was made about the weight and construction of the running shoe. It weighed in at just 97 grams, or about 3.2 ounces, with a variety of other features to make the shoe strong and durable. I checked the weight of my new running shoes. They are a dream to walk in and will be better when I finally start running and jogging again. My running shoes weigh in at a whopping 339 grams, almost 3.5 times the weight of their shoes. That works out to about 4 ounces per shoe heavier every step for 26.2 miles if I were ever to run that far again. The scientists behind the development of the shoe said they considered every nanogram to make it the lightest shoe ever. That's a billionth of a gram, folks. Now, while the shoe was important, it is the training that makes the runner elite. I have no doubt they used the most sophisticated form of interval training to train the runners. Many people think that high-intensity interval training is something that's relatively new. Fact is, interval training has been around for more than a century. I was thinking about the marathon record. It sort of reminded me of an article I wrote for a running column when I lived in Indiana. In that my postdoc was with one of the leading researchers on muscle metabolism, I took an interest in interval training. It just wasn't developed 10 to 15 years ago as the recent emphasis on HIIT training might lead you to believe. It was actually developed in the early 1900s and then sort of perfected over time as the technology to actually test what's going on in the muscles was developed. It all revolves around something called the lactate threshold, as well as recovery time. Let's take a look, but understand, I'm going to simplify the biochemistry as much as I can to make it easier for you to understand. The preferred fuel for exercise is sugar in the form of glucose. Recent attempts to train to use fat in the form of ketones has not proven to be successful in helping athletic performance. It was, is, and unless something else is discovered, always be about glucose as a fuel. When you begin to exercise, like going out for a walk, you'll use a combination of fat and carbohydrate as a fuel. If you accelerate to a jog, the needle starts moving more towards carbohydrate than fat as a fuel. When you break into a reasonably paced run, it moves further towards carbohydrate. If you decide to move to like a 5K race pace, it moves all to carbohydrate. Now, how much faster you can run and maintain that race pace depends on your ability to transport pyruvate into the mitochondria to continue to make ATP inside that mitochondria. If the rate of pyruvate is too high, it's converted into lactic acid instead. Now, you may never have heard about pyruvate, but I'm betting you learned about lactic acid. As that lactic acid builds up, if the rate gets too high, you can't maintain the exercise pace and performance is going to be diminished. So how can you run faster? Well, you have to run faster. Obvious, right? Well, stated better, it should be you have to train to run faster. And to do that, you need interval training. We know that HIIT is a method of interval training that involves maximal effort for 30 to 90 seconds with 3 to 4 minutes of rest. Why that amount of time? Well, it's how long it takes the muscles to recover from the lactic acid buildup and restore normal glucose metabolism. And that's nice, but it's not really going to help you in a 5K or longer, with the exception of maybe the final sprint. It was really designed to see what benefit it might have for those who want to put in as little time as possible in hard effort. And research has shown that it can benefit people with diabetes and prediabetes to get fitter faster. But the goal of interval training is to increase stamina. Stamina is maintaining a higher effort for a longer period of time. Now, there are dozens of programs that can do that, but I'll focus on three approaches. I'll use running as my example, but any aerobic sport like cross-country skiing, swimming, or cycling can use the exact same concept. The first approach is to increase some speed. If we use a 5 or 10K road race, that means we would probably use 200 to 400 meter repeats with rest intervals between. The rest time would be longer than between 2 to 3 minutes. Again, that will allow time for the lactate to be converted to a form that can be used as energy. Remember that pyruvate stuff? Back into that form. Someone might do 200 meters at 30 to 60 seconds faster than their race pace. Just walking around to recover, but never flopping on the ground, because that means your effort was too high. Repeat that 8 times after a warm-up and then cool down, and you're done. The second approach would be 800-meter repeats at 15 to 30 seconds faster than race pace, with 1 to 2 minutes rest between repeats. Again, that amount of a rest allows complete recovery. Let me tell you, those can be the most grueling because you are really pushing that lactate threshold. The rest interval is shorter to push that threshold further to increase your stamina. Third, and this is one I learned from my mentor during my postdoc, is to run a half mile to 1 mile repeats about 30 seconds slower than your projected race pace. The key is that you only rest for 15 seconds before starting the next interval. When I was training, I would do those for 5 miles worth of intervals. They are called aerobic intervals because that's all the time, just 15 seconds, it takes the aerobic energy system to recover. Now, I use this approach now, walking as I'm slowly getting back to jogging again. And there you have it. I have no doubt that the athletes that broke the world marathon record each use some form of interval training. The pace is going to be a whole lot faster than you and I could manage, but the rest time, it would not change for each type of interval. If you want to run faster, you have to train the energy system to run faster. That's the key. But don't underestimate how it can help your fitness level if you have no intention of ever running or even walking more than your normal 2 to 3 miles a day. I adapted something I read by a personal trainer to improve my speed as well. They recommended walking at a normal pace for 2 minutes, then for one timed minute, walk faster than normal. I open up the floodgates and walk as fast as I possibly can. You don't have to do that, but you can walk faster than normal for 1 minute. Then go back to a normal pace to recover and repeat the 1 minute intervals throughout the entire walk, jog, or run. It will improve your fitness level without any change to the distance you walk. Just make sure your doctor is good with you walking faster to get fitter. If you're going to walk anyway, you might as well shake things up a little bit and get more benefit. You'll also burn more calories as you do. And that's how you can train like a marathon runner when you take your next walk. And that's all the time I have for this episode. So if you like the podcast, please hit the share button and tell your friends and colleagues about it. Until next time, this is Dr. Chet Solasko saying, health is a choice. Choose wisely today and every day.